This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, as we kick off the week, yes, I am in the satellite facility in Dallas, Texas, after a wild road swing. I appreciate all the emails and all the goodwill that you sent my way for a very, very busy week, both with the show, being on site, and various speeches. Speaking of speeches, it almost seemed like a speech. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, really defending what was going on with the U.S. and the situation in Syria, and as you heard that at the top there, part of the Sunday Swirl, which is what I call the talking heads. He denied there was ever a quid pro quo, easy for me to say, between the U.S. and the Ukraine days after acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney acknowledged it now during this press conference, the infamous press conference. So that was part of the flow. And then the other part of the flow was what I just mentioned, what happened in Syria and what is going on in Syria and the situation, of course, with Turkey. And all the conversations over, so where are we headed with this, with Turkey and talking about troop withdrawal and Lindsey Graham reversing now his Syria stance, which is interesting because the president ordered U.S. troops to leave northern Syria. So this conversation about Syria and what we're doing with the Kurds and are we turning our back and how so many people feel about leaving too many vulnerable to the whims of what Turkey may, you know, decide to do. And then ultimately, what's the fallout with ISIS? But the key thing here is for you listening, as I break this down, having studied this, watched this, and talked to my good source at the Pentagon, I mean, there is chaos happening in Syria. So we know for a fact that the president has, as I mentioned, ordered all troops to withdraw from the north to avoid a conflict between Turkey and the U.S. and, of course, the Kurdish fighters, and saying that it's going to get worse. That's what the Defense Secretary Mark Esper is certainly reporting. And the pullback is saying that if we do that, it's a withdrawal of about 1,000 U.S. troops that had been, and this is the key thing, so we understand this, they had been partnering with the Kurds to combat ISIS in that northeastern wicked hornet's nest of Syria. You look at it on a map, and this used to be beautiful territory, but that's the key phrase, used to be. So the Pentagon had pulled back about 30 troops from that attack zone along the border, but now with all this violence and the net just widening and more Turkish incursion and the prospect of massive confusion of conflict, now all the forces, U.S. forces along the border, are going to follow that move. Esper was pretty clear about this. He said, we have American forces likely caught between two opposing advancing armies, and we cannot be in that situation. It's untenable is the word that he used, and of course he's the Pentagon chief, and he did several interviews, so he made it clear this is the stance, this is where we're going. So there's not going to be much U.S. presence in Syria with that many troops leaving, and there is the U.S. and coalition troops that aren't involved in the Kurd mission. So, you know, when you talk about them being moved from the north, where do they end up then? And of course, there's many conversations about what happens now with the Turkish president, and they're urging the president to stop and reverse this invasion, incursion, whatever you want to label it. But it's a death march is what it is. And we know that over the weekend there's been massive conversations about this in the Defense Department as to what's going to happen here and what is the timeline. And this is a timeline they're not discussing. They're not going to talk about the timeline because they're trying to get them out of there as safely as possible. So the idea is, well, let's not put a clock on this and tell everybody what we're doing. And that makes
sense to me from that point of view. Of course, why would you do that? And this is the operation. You know, the Pentagon said before the operation began that the military wouldn't support it. They made it clear, we're not supporting this. And initially, and this is another key piece of this, if we were looking at a map together, initially it covered an area along the border about 77 miles wide and 19 deep. So think about that in your mind. But now it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And here's the key thing, and Esper did admit this, there are hundreds of ISIS prisoners escaping because of this invasion and the atrocities that are happening against the Syrian Kurds by the Turkish. So it keeps getting worse. It keeps getting, even as I'm speaking, I'm sure the situation is getting worse and worse and worse. So we're going, you know, moment by moment on what's being leaked out and what's being discussed for sure, and ultimately what that looks like. But I think in your mind, you think of the map, you think of it going deep, and it's unraveling. I mean, there's no way that we can say it's not unraveling. Now, Lindsey Graham, who of course is a big proponent of most of what the president does, the Republican senator in South Carolina, is saying he's been one of the most vocal critics of the president's decision to move troops out of northern Syria, and he said now he believed historic solutions were possible. He had a conversation on Fox over the weekend, and he said the president had fueled his optimism that a solution could be reached where the security of Turkey and the Kurds was guaranteed and fighters from the Islamic State could be contained. Hope is not a strategy, so I hope that there is more than hope connected to this, and there is some sort of solution, because I think it's frightening, and it's frightening to think of the exposure for the U.S. troops, but also the Kurds that were helping as well. All right, the other big story emanating out of Washington, because I always say this show is about why do you care what happens in your backyard, and form your own opinions, whether you're right of right, left of left, or somewhere in between. But the president has abruptly decided to reverse plans to hold that G7 at Doral in Florida. He said he's backtracking after facing accusations that he's using the presidency to enrich himself by hosting an international summit at the private resort owned by his family. So because of that, he decided to pull back. And of course, remember, we're talking about 2020, and we're talking about a year of campaigning. So you had Mick Mulvaney, who had a news conference announcing the choice of Doral, and he insisted the staff had concluded it was far and away the best physical facility. And Mulvaney said that he claimed that Trump was honestly surprised at the level of pushback, and at the end of this whole thing, decided, okay, then let's not do that, because we need to change. If this is what we're getting back from everybody and there's so much opposition to it, you know, why do that? And initially there were Republicans who backed him up, saying this is tremendous integrity and transparency and, you know, all of that. So was this a good decision? It probably was a good decision not to use Doral. Even Senator Cory Booker, who's running for president, said it was extraordinary even to have that conversation. So there you go. All right, stay with us. Coming up on the flipped side, I know it's been a while, but we're going to hit the mailbag, so don't go away.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
From Jake listening to us in the great state of Texas. And Jake says, hey, Kate, did you happen to catch what happened at the end of that Houston Astros game? I have to admit, I'm more of a Rangers fan, but I knew you'd be watching or you would know about it. And so much for the Yankees. It's the end of their season. It was kind of a whiplash sort of game, but it was a beautiful game to watch. And the hero was one of the shortest guys in Major League Baseball, Jose Altuve, which I thought was pretty darn cool, the fact that he did the walk-off scenario. You know what? You kind of took my thunder. Yes, it was an amazing game. I did not see the tail end of it. I did not see the game. I just was just watching the replay. And, boy, the Yankees came back because they were down, and then they evened it out. But at Minute Maid Park, boy, they blew the roof off the place, so to speak. And they win the pennant. So now they're going to take on the Nationals for the World Series, and here they go again, a very, very big, obviously, and just amazing. To as I was watching the replay, I was thinking, this, how crazy is this? They couldn't hit. Seemed like they couldn't hit the side of a barn. The Astros hitting with runners in scoring position. They were 2-for-22 since like the 11th inning of Game 2, if I'm right on that. And that was just an incredibly big moment, and the dejection on the face of the Yankees. Shocking, but a great moment in sports. And in our next hour, I'm going to do the man cave thing, and I'm going to let you hear what that sounded like. Sweet! All right, now we go to the news of the day. This is from Sam I Am. Kate, you know I've been listening for a long time, and I'm watching what's happening with the Prez and that G7 summit. I think it was so smart to just dump out of it if that many people were opposed to it. The smart thing to do was to do exactly what they did. I don't know that you could really criticize the Prez for that, because there's certainly plenty of people, both Democrats and Republicans, who thought it was a very bad idea. Yeah, you know, I was looking at the reaction afterwards, and even
Former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer said, good call. I mean, you know, on the Twittersphere, it exploded. And it was smart. In a campaign year, yeah, I mean, if it's that red poker hot, it doesn't make any sense to go forward with it. And the second that was announced, there was so much criticism. I mean, there's other locations, other sites, from Hawaii to, you know, one of the other nine locations that they looked at. So I'm thinking, who knows, it could be in Hawaii, could be someplace else, because that happens in June, and that's only 5 months, like less than 5 months before the presidential election, where you've got Trump looking for a second term, and then, you know, G7 is a who's who from Italy, Japan, France, the UK, Canada, Germany, you know, you name it. That's the whole idea. And we just had the last one in France. So, you know, even Camp David was suggested, but I don't think it's going to be Camp David. I think it's going to be someplace else, but it's certainly not going to be Doral, let's put it that way. All right, we bounce from the G7 and Doral, which is way off in the distance, to something completely different. Looking at this story, and I happened to catch the story, but Pete pointed it out. He says, hey, America Tonight listeners and Kate Delaney, I know that you talk about these stories when people get rescued and crazy things happen. And there was a story I happened to receive myself the other day about this guy that wasn't sure whether or not he got through on 911. He was in the middle of a snowstorm and he ended up 7 miles deep from where he was supposed to be hiking on this trail in Oregon. And the call dropped, I guess, part way. And he was in this fresh snow. He didn't have food, all that kind of stuff, blizzard conditions. So you got to wonder what's going through his mind. That this is the end of the line, and apparently the call got through, and he ended up being found. And I think what a great, you know, end to what could have been a really sad story, since we talk about so many of them. Yeah, you know what? This guy was from Philly, and that's why I know that story. He didn't know, you described right, he didn't know whether or not he had gotten through. He had an app on his phone trying to navigate the trail, and he was completely, you know, lost. And that Pacific Crest Trail that you're talking about, and I didn't know this, but there's been a lot of people that have died along the trail. They say at least 17 deaths have been recorded, you know, where someone fell, someone was hit by a car, there's heat stroke, there's drowning, there's all kinds of stuff. And it's pretty intense to do it, but he reached the 2,000 mile trail marker last weekend, and that's one of the hardest stretches of that trail, apparently. That's like 6,800 feet, and that was like in front of him. So there was rain, there's all kinds of, you know, weather dilemmas, but the fact that he, you know, the fact that he was lost, and then they found him, the search and rescue team, bravo to them. He had minor frostbite, I guess, but I bet going to that hotel room had to feel really, really good to him. I'm just thinking. And, you know, he grew up like me, grew up outside of Philly, but he was a lifelong hiker, and that was what he put all of his energy into, you know, it's like his, what he did for fun, and he felt pretty confident about his skills, but he was by himself, and I'm glad you brought that out. It seems like we're, you know, we're always talking about the brutal things that are happening. So to have something where somebody actually gets through, gets rescued, yay, I'm going to say to that. All right, we move on. I'm going to try to get a couple more in. This one is from Mary, and she says, Kate, I have to tell you, it's a joy watching where you're traveling next. I love it when I hear, oh, I'm in Ohio, oh, I'm in Atlanta, oh, I'm someplace else. And if I recall, I think you were in Georgia twice last week, and I was wondering why you were there. I'm a speaker, and I was talking about the fact that I was at Peach State Federal Credit Union. It was tremendous. It was so fun to be there. My pal Marshall Butwell, who is the CEO, saw me speak, and he wanted me to come in for a deeper dive for his team on dealing your own destiny. And then at the end of the week, I did a thing called LeaderCast Women, and they have some incredible content for leadership growth, and they put on this conference, and I got asked to speak, you know, as one of eight women, some pretty influential women, so I feel pretty flattered. And it was great to be able to at least sort of peel back the onion a little bit for all of you. I don't want to make the show about me and where I'm going, but some of the things that I see along the way is pretty interesting. All right, here's one from Patrick, listening in Tucson. Kate, when are you coming to Arizona? And I know you like to keep up with what's happening money-wise, technology-wise, the landscape. Did you see that the Oracle CEO died? I did. Mark Hurd. He took a leave of absence, and you know, just 62 years old. That's tough. Larry Ellison, who just love this guy, by all accounts, everything you would always hear him talk about him. He just said, hey, a close and irreplaceable friend, and he touched a lot of people at the company. He had health problems, and when he said the leave of absence, I don't think anyone thought it was going to go downhill quite that quickly, but yeah. Let's see, speaking of tech, here was another techish kind of deal that I got, if you want to call it that, and it's from Max. He listens to us in Florida because he sent us a couple of emails in the past. What do you think of the new AI, or I shouldn't say the new AI, but AI in general, where we're talking about Alexa, we're talking about Google Home. Do you have any in your home? We have an Alexa, and I'll give more details when this happens, but I'm getting set to launch in November a thing called, and we'll have it here on the show too, by the way, her story and its accomplishments by these incredible, I'll just call them badass women that you may have heard of, might not have heard of, that have done some amazing things, whether it's in technology, science, the arts, sports, politics. Just little kind of vignettes, and they're going to be on Alexa, so, or you know, Amazon. You'll be able to just call out and get those daily, and I'm pretty excited about that. You know, I have mixed feelings about some of the technology because it's like we have to occasionally put ourselves on a technology diet, right? But if I didn't have the technology that I have, I wouldn't be able to do half the things that I do that you all get to hear, and what I do that makes it possible for me to do this show and to travel at the same time and even just to do the show. So I'm a big fan of being able to figure out the balance, I guess, between your tech habits and your non-tech habits. How's that? All right, hang with us. I promise I'll meet you on the other side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. U.S. troops have begun moving out of northern Syria under orders from President Trump. U.S. officials say the largest group, about 500 personnel, have been moved out of northeastern Syria. While traveling to Afghanistan, Defense Secretary Mark Esper told reporters that the troops will not be going home, but instead be transferred to western Iraq, where they will conduct operations against the Islamic State terrorist group. Independent Congressman Justin Amash is no fan of that idea.
He's moving troops back into Iraq. He's moving other troops into Saudi Arabia, and he's using our forces almost as mercenaries, the paid mercenaries who are going to go in, and as long as Saudi Arabia pays us some money, it's good to go.
Amash was on NBC's Meet the Press. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world run a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome to the show, Elaine Pasquick. She's a certified speaking professional. She's put up all kinds of amazing programs on these college campuses and with professional athletes. In fact, on positive choices for pro athletes from 31 teams across the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball, the most notable Division I college football program she's been involved with, and collegiate athletes at more than 650 campuses nationwide. And she's exhausted, but she's here. Elaine, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm energized, actually. My work energizes me, Kate, because I love what I do.
Yeah, and I understand about the numbers. You know, it's like I say when I talk about, you know, breaking through and being in the locker room, that I've been in 780 locker rooms, and somebody said to me the other day, you must be exhausted, and I'm like you. We're very similar in that way. It might be that New Jersey background. So let's dive into it. What is it that pushed you in this direction? How did you start this kind of a career?
Well, it all started, my mom and stepdad both died of AIDS-related complications. He contracted the virus from a medical product that was made from human plasma and passed it on to my mom. And so because they chose to keep their infectious status a secret and didn't get the love and support at the end of their lives that most people do get because of their secrecy, I wanted to speak out more. So I got my mom's permission about a week before she died to finally tell the truth and to share the story. And so first I started speaking about HIV and AIDS. For 2 years, I was working with health professionals and you know, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, all sorts of organizations. And then I called a college, and Delaware Valley College here in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And the dean of students mentored me and got me on the national circuit. And so I first started speaking about HIV and AIDS, and then 2 years into that, I realized that students needed, there were many more topics that needed to be addressed, because we're seeing the high-risk drinking connected to the unprotected sex. We're seeing the sexual violence and sexual assault, the drug abuse. So I broadened my area of expertise, and about in the early 2000s, somebody from a campus said, you know, you should really be focusing on collegiate athletes, and because they are higher risk students, they work hard, they play hard, and I listened to her. And so, and around 2001, I created a niche for working with collegiate athletes. So I typically work with about 60 campuses annually, and most of my work is with athletic departments. And then about 8 years ago, I started working with pro athletes. It started with the New York Giants, and then went on to working for the NFL league itself, and then working with the NBA and doing training for the developmental league teams. And I've worked with 4 different Major League Baseball teams as well.
Wow. The we go back to your mom's story. What a way, Elaine, that must have just been devastating to hear that news, but what a way to turn that around and try to help other people. And so now you fast forward through all of the different folks that you've touched. You must think somewhere your mother is smiling that you were able to do this.
I'm hoping. My aunts and uncles have all come to see my program when I was speaking in New Jersey, and they were saying, your mother would be so pleased. And I did get her permission, so it wasn't like I was doing this against her wishes. And so that makes it a little bit easier. But I tell people, the most painful experience in my life has taken me to the most gratifying. And never in my wildest dreams, one, did I think that this would become a livelihood. I did it for free for the first 2 years because I just wanted to prevent people from going through what my family went through twice. And then little did I know that it would propel me to going on to working with the leagues. You know, I remember standing there on Park Avenue looking out of the window from the NFL league office and looking down the streets going, geez, who would think that little old Elaine Pasqua, who grew up on Gertrude Street from Clark, New Jersey, would ever be standing here. So you just don't know, Kate, where life is going to take you. I'm sure you feel the same way, too.
Oh, absolutely. When you go to these college campuses now, and you've been doing this for a while, what do you find? Do you find that the athletes, the collegiate athletes, do they open up to you? Is it tough to get them to open up to you?
No, because first of all, I think my stature helps. Somebody at the Baltimore Ravens said to the person at the Tennessee Titans who was thinking about bringing me in, said, she walks in the room, I don't think she weighs 100 pounds wet. They take one look at her and I go, what the heck? And then she opens her mouth. It's that Jersey girl moxie. So my stature, I'm 5'3". I'm small boned and tiny, so I'm very unassuming looking, and I'm not judgmental. I mean, and I think a lot of it is from where I grew up. Again, you know that too. Mm. We're not judgmental. We have this energy. We have this open frankness, and they do open up to me, and they confide in me. I mean, I've had even NFL players pulling me out in the hall and sharing the most intimate details of their life and going, how do I work through this? What do I do? And so they're very, very open. Last year, I was at Temple University for 2 days, and instead of me doing my scripted program, they had me meet for 45 minutes with each individual team just to have casual conversations. And Kate, it blew me away. It just, the conversations that I was having with full teams and the way they opened up, I learned more from them than they do from me. It's remarkable.
Yeah, no kidding. So what do you find is the, you know, what is the quandary of the pro athlete? Is it the single guys that come in and all of a sudden they have this money and this power and this adulation, and now it's a rush, and they've got a lot of women interested in them, and they don't know really how to navigate the terrain? Or what do you find?
You sum rounded up completely, all of that, you know, because there's so many temptations. Again, the money, the temptation, many of these athletes are coming from families that didn't come from financial means. And so now they've got all the cousins and the relatives hanging on and thinking that they're going, there's a lot of pressure to support other people. There's the entrapment by women. And this is one of the things that I focus on, because I talk to a lot of the rookies about sexual assault and sexual health. And they're really confused. Studies are showing that young women are more sexually aggressive than we had seen in the past. And so a lot of the guys are going, well, wait a minute. I mean, I'll go round and round in circles with these guys, because they'll, you know, I'll tell them things about consent and the law, and they'll go, well, wait a minute. Why am I the one that's getting in trouble when she's the one who started it? Or why are somebody from one of the NFL teams brought up a good point and said, why is it that when you have somebody who has accused another individual of sexual assault, they don't reveal the name of the victim, but they will reveal the name of the person who is accused, whether they're guilty or not. And even if they're not guilty, there's a seed of doubt and a cloud that will always follow them and hang over them. So I'm trying to get these guys to think with their brains and not with their other body parts, and to not get caught up in the moment. It's like, if you get involved in a hookup with somebody you don't know, you're taking an incredible risk, because you don't know who this person is. Maybe they're trying to entrap you. Maybe we also see a lot of young women try to get pregnant. You know, they entrap these guys into the pregnancies because they see them coming and they think, cha-ching, I want to ride on the coattails of their success. So I am trying to get them to think. I had an NBA player say, you know, after the program, he said, I never thought about the entrapment, but after you talked about it, I went and listened to all my tapes or my stories in from the past, and I thought, oh, so that's what was happening. So a lot of times they're not even aware of it.
Wow. So, and we're speaking with Elaine Pasqua, certified speaking professional. Boy, what a powerhouse. She's worked with pro athletes. She's worked with all these Division I college football programs. She's heavily sought after. Has really built quite a career. When you look at the younger guys, you look at the college football programs, etc., what are you hopeful for?
What I'm hopeful for is, one, that they understand that they're ambassadors of their university, of their athletic department, and that the behavior that they engage in off of the field is going to be under the same scrutiny as the behavior that they engage in on the field or on the court. So I want them to understand. People are looking. We're living in a time of suffocating media attention. Anybody can whip a cell phone out of their pocket, take a picture, send it viral, and ruin someone's reputation. So I want them to be remembered for their stellar performance on the field. I want them to be to build a legacy that they're proud of. And I also want them to stay on track for the future, because one, how many of them are going to go on to pro sports? How many get into pro sports who are injured and their careers are shortened? So we want them to finish school. We want them to think beyond sports and building a future for themselves. So it's all about saving their reputation and knowing, understanding that one night, one inconsequential decision can change the rest of their lives. I even had, I don't name names, but an NFL player who I was with when he was in his senior year in college, and he was accused of sexually assaulting a young woman. And we talked recently, and he said, you know, I want these guys to know that one night can dramatically change their lives. And a lot of times there's misunderstanding. They think that they got consent, and then it turns around and turns into a very negative situation for them.
Wow. Elaine, if somebody wants to find out more about you, where can they go?
They can go onto my website, www.elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Pasqua, P as in Peter, A, S as in Sam, Q-U-A.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. So they can find me. And then my phone numbers, my contact information is on my website, so they can feel free to call me and reach out, and I would love to work with them.
Perfect. Elaine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it. It was fun to talk to you today.
I was an animal in the trees, hiding behind you on my hands and knees, sizing your body up down.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Recently, Warren Buffett has officially gone on record to say that his public speaking course was probably the greatest business class he ever took. So today, we're going to talk with a presentation skills expert who also happens to be a top-ranked peak performance expert, Delatora McNeil, about how we can take our public speaking and presentation skills to the next level. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? Delatora, thanks so much for joining us.
Kate and George, thanks so much for having me. It's a tremendous honor to be with you today.
So tell us a little bit about your journey that's led you to this place of being a top speaker and also obviously a speaker trainer.
You know, this has actually been a pretty long journey for me. I started when I was 4 or 5 years old. My mom was an English teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. So if you were going to be Olivia's son, you had to be articulate. You had to speak. So I remember getting the longest parts in the Easter play and Christmas play and all kinds of things. And so my mom raised me to be articulate. Now, I asked her years later when I became a speaker, did she know that she was raising a professional speaker? And she said, I have no clue, baby. But I give a lot of credit and honor to my mom because she was way more than a parent. She was my first mentor. And I was able to go on to do pretty good in school. I went to Florida State University. I got a bachelor's and master's degree in 5 years with a 4.0 with zero student loan debt. And I learned in college that I had leadership capabilities. And as a result of being a student leader in college, I had to do a lot of public speaking. for orientation, for residence life, for a lot of different organizations I was a member of. I had to do a lot of public speaking. And so my mentor in college was a guy by the name of Dr. Lee Jones, and he told me to get involved in Toastmasters. So interestingly enough, Kate, I became a member of Toastmasters in graduate school in college. And I started going to weekly meetings, and I kept winning the Best Speaker Award. And I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so I knew one day that I wanted to be a speaker, but I'm like, I have to have a career in something first. So I came out of college and took a career working for Anderson, which is a big peak performance consulting organization. Worked there for 1 year, and that didn't work out. So I took a job at the University of South Florida, and I worked there for 2 years teaching public speaking. And I was like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I taught at the university for 2 years. And in 2003, I left the university and went full-time as a speaker. And I've been full-time ever since, and I've had a chance to give over 3,000 paid presentations all around the world. I was inducted as a CSP, the Certified Speaking Professional designation. I'm one of the youngest in the world to earn that at the age of 33 when I got it. And I had a chance to just, I've created my own inspirational business reality television show called The Keynote. And this year, I was the opening keynote speaker for the Toastmasters World Convention in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. So we've done a tremendous amount in the area of public speaking and presentation. And year to date, we've literally personally mentored over 300 C-suite executives, speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs, and help them get a fast start in the professional speaking industry.
You know, it's interesting, Del Toro, when I hear you speak about how you got to where you are today. I mean, it's always interesting to hear where people get their quote-unquote big break. And your big break came, it sounds like, from an organization that anybody can join today, which is Toastmasters. And just as an aside, I have to tell the both of you how significant the role of Toastmasters has been in my life. I was a Toastmaster for a lot of years. I think I do well in the medium of radio because of it. There's a thing called table topics where you get put on the spot and you have to speak, you know, extemporaneously or spontaneously, which is what we're doing right now, right? But I just want to share with you guys one other thing that came out of a visit I had with I was visiting some friends in a city. They were Toastmasters. I went to their Toastmasters club. And I fell in love, love at first sight, with a woman in their club. And she's now my wife. So if you've ever thought about going to a Toastmasters club to make a dramatic change in your life, I think between the two of us we can say great things can happen there if you just show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Warren Buffett agrees with you because he actually requires all of his top business students to take a Toastmasters international course. So it's really, really remarkable. It's so funny, Greg, that you mentioned that. And that's a powerful story. I actually had a cinematographer follow me around at the World Convention because it was 20 years later after joining Toastmasters in college that I had a chance to be the opening keynote for the World Convention and speak to Toastmasters from all over the world from 120 countries. It was remarkable. So we captured that, and we're working on a documentary right now. But I firmly believe that any business professional who wants to take their presentation skills to the next level really needs to spend a little time in a Toastmasters course because it's a great organization to help you polish your public speaking and presentation skills.
Del Toro, of all the people, because you talked about this, you talked about the C-suite, the 300 C-suite people that you've really mentored, let's face it, and took them through that journey, and so many other people that you've influenced on this speaking path and teaching them presentation, you know, how to have these powerful presentations. What do you find people are the most intimidated about when you first deal with them in any of the classes or any of the retreats or anything that you hold?
It's a remarkable question, Kate. And the number one thing, if people say they have, because you gotta realize, public speaking is the number one fear in America, Canada, and other parts of the world. But what I've learned and realized, and this is so powerful, I've never read this in a book, I firmly believe this. People don't have a fear of public speaking. They have a fear of other fears associated to public speaking. So in other words, people have a fear of being judged. People have a fear of being critiqued. People have a fear of not looking good. People have a fear of not sounding good. People have a fear of their own voice. People have a fear of too many eyeballs out. People have a fear of their PowerPoint going down. People have a fear of technology failing them. What I've realized is that most people, when I ask them, I say, what are you really afraid of when it comes to giving your presentation? Well, I just don't want to look bad. I don't want to sound bad. I don't want people to like my outfit. I don't want my technology to not work. So it's not a fear of public speaking. It's really, that is a blanket for like 20 other fears that people have that they kind of disguise as public speaking. And so what I help people understand is that they need to replace the word "I'm nervous" with this. You have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I guarantee you, if you begin to start to say, you know what, instead of saying, oh my gosh, those feelings I get in my stomach are nerves and I'm nervous. No, say, you know what, I'm excited, I'm pumped, I'm charged, I have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome, I'm getting ready to rock this presentation. And if you say that to yourself, you look in the mirror and say, I am incredible, I know my material, I know my content, I'm getting ready to go serve this audience, and they are going to get a massive amount of value out of what I have to share. When you come from that place, attitude is everything. I guarantee you, you'll present better.
We're talking with Delatoro L. McNeil. He's ranked one of the best motivational speakers in the world. And Delatoro, I want to ask you this really important question to follow up on what you just said, which is, you know, what is the cost to me if I don't do what it takes to become a better speaker? How does it impact my career? How does it impact my ability, if I'm a manager, to manage my people, to move up? And, you know, if you look at my story, it might even be impacting your personal life. I met my wife at a Toastmasters club. What are the costs of not doing what you're suggesting?
The costs are astronomical, and that's an incredible question, Greg, because here's what I firmly believe. There is a massive misconception in the business marketplace that I want to correct in this interview. Most times when I ask people, do they need to work on their public speaking and presentation skills, they say, yes, I do. But they automatically follow it up with, but I don't want to be a Les Brown. I don't see myself as a Tony Robbins. I don't see myself as a Kay Delaney. I don't see myself as a Maya Angelou. I don't see myself as Oprah. And what they don't understand is that they're confusing the industry with the skill set. And you can't confuse the industry with the skill set. The truth is, public speaking and presentation is a skill. Just like negotiation is a skill. Leadership is a skill. Project management is a skill, right? Networking is a skill. Public speaking is a skill. And so if you choose to not develop this skill, it has astronomical impacts on your career, because the truth is, people that have strong presentation skills earn 65% more than those that don't. Studies also let us know that you're more promotable. You are more recession-proof. You're more cross-trainable if you have the ability to be the one to give the sales presentation, to give the summary of the meeting, to give the analysis of the activity, to be the one to rally the team. If you are the one in your organization that can give the presentation, you're seen as more credible, more confident, more valuable to the organization. And the truth is, even in everyday life, whether we're parents, whether we're dating, whether we're on Facebook Live, whether we're on Twitter, whether we're on Instagram, we're all doing public speaking every single day, whether you're in front of an audience of one or whether you're in front of an audience of 100,000. It does not matter. Every day we're using the skill, whether we realize it or not. When you go into the post office and you ask for your package to be shipped and you're speaking to it somewhere on the other side of the counter and 10 people are behind you waiting, that's public speaking. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we realize it or not. Every time a waiter or waitress comes up to you and tells you about the restaurant and tells you about the specials, that was a speech. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we acknowledge it or not. So the cost is astronomical if we don't develop our skill set.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love your example. Boy, this has been so good that we want to have you back for a second part. Can we do that, Delatoro?
I'd be honored.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about some of the things that people could probably apply right now to take their presentation skills to the next level. As you say, you make such a great point when you're talking about everybody has these fears, and some of them are unfounded, but also the fact that, you know, whether you're a waiter or a waitress, that's a great example, you're still dealing with the public, you're still speaking, and there's just so many, many misconceptions. So this has been fantastic, Greg. We're going to bring Delatoro back for another edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.